ladies and gentlemen, today I propose a little examination, a little test, a right or wrong test. Will you please join with me for this examination? The Bible and you hold the answer. Question, is it right or wrong? Right or wrong may be poles apart, or it may be possible under certain circumstances and conditions that there may be a gray area between the right and the wrong, but that is usually very narrow. Does it make any difference with you? Is it right or is it wrong? There must be a measurement between right and wrong. Do you know what that measurement is? By what rule or standard of authority? Is it right or is it wrong? This is the question for discussion. Really? Does it make any difference, right or wrong? With most people, it does make a difference. Is it possible to be right and wrong at the same time? Surely the greatest aims in life are to do the right and shun the wrong. Right is right because it is right. Right is built on truth, integrity, and authority. Attitudes should be right. Actions should be right. Language should be right. Deeds should be right. Motives should be right. Life itself should be right. Right or wrong because it is wrong? Wrong is wrong because it is wrong. If it is wrong, it is not right. Even if everybody in the world says that it is right, but it is wrong, it is not right. It is wrong. If black is black, it is not white. If white is white, it is not black. Saying white is black doesn't make black white or white black. Right or wrong? If it is wrong, it is not right. If it is right, it is not wrong. Absolute right and absolute wrong have no communion or fellowship with each other. With God, there is no compromise between truth and error, right and wrong. There must be a measurement between right and wrong. I say again, by what rule or standard of authority determines right or wrong? Is it right or is it wrong? There must be an answer. The Bible is the inspired word of God. Right or wrong? That is what the Bible is. It is truth. Listen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. The Bible is right. No additions, no subtractions. The Bible says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. Revelation chapters 22, verses 18 and 19. What do you say? Right or wrong? Surely you must say right. The inspired apostle by the Holy Spirit pronounced a curse upon one who would pervert the gospel. You may read that in your Bible. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Who set himself above the Holy Spirit to say, that is wrong? It is right. Right or wrong? Is it right to be right and wrong to be wrong? It surely is. But suppose a person is for the right but not against the wrong. Would that be right? I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that a person cannot truly be right and not be against the wrong. Right and wrong are incompatibles. It would be well to accept the firm declaration of David, the man of God, who declared, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Psalm 119, 128. right and wrong are as far apart as Christ is from Satan. Right? Of course that's right. Christ and Satan have no fellowship on any issues of life. That is no compromise between Christ and Satan. If Christ is right, Satan is wrong. If Satan is wrong, Christ is right. Don't you know that is right? My friends, can you imagine the Apostle John firmly declaring opposition to the Antichrist in both his first and second epistles and then telling Christians to fellowship those teaching false doctrines? Wrong. You said it. So wrong it cannot be right. One cannot be for right and not be against the wrong. Listen to the inspired apostle. Are you listening? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. And the apostle concluded, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching or doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John verse 9. Hath both the Father and the Son, and hath not God, are eternities apart. To abide in the teaching of Christ is right. To go beyond and abide not in the teaching of the Word of the Lord is wrong. So wrong that it cannot be right. Hath not God, the Bible says. There is no stronger language of prohibition in the Bible than the firm declaration, hath not God. You can't make the right wrong, and you can't make the wrong right. It is a matter of abiding in the doctrine of Christ or not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Furthermore, the apostle concluded that to aid and abet a teacher of error is to be a partaker of his evil works. That's found in verses 10 and 11. You say it is wrong to give greetings and encouragement to false teachers? You are right. That's wrong. So wrong that eternity will not change the wrong to right. And eternity is an endless day of punishment for the one who hath not God. My friends, being right also means being against the wrong. Right does not equate to neutrality against wrong. Being for the right means being against the wrong, regardless of who or what is the wrong. Right or wrong? You answer. Imagine David, God's servant, branding a man a fool who denies the existence of God, yet extend to him the right hand of religious fellowship. Right or wrong? Can you imagine any apostle or preacher of the gospel being for the great commission of our Lord when Jesus said, preach the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but refuse to take any stand against the teachers of error and perverters of truth who deny and even sometimes ridicule the divine command of our Lord for one to believe and be baptized to be saved as recorded in Mark 16, 16. Right or wrong? Imagine an apostle of Jesus Christ or a preacher of the gospel being for the great commission of our Lord when he said, preach the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but refuse to take a stand against teachers of error and perverters of truth who deny and sometimes even ridicule the divine command of our Lord for one to believe and be baptized to be saved, as recorded in Mark 16 and 16. Right or wrong? Don't you know the great inspired Apostle Paul condemned sin of immoral conduct such as drunkenness, lasciviousness, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, as you read in Romans chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 5? He was unmistakably against all these sins and more. Was that wrong? Was it not right? It is right or wrong today, surely just as much as it was then. And for faithful men of God to condemn sin and error and uphold righteousness, holiness, and purity must be right. You know that is right, don't you? But a few weak-kneed religious teachers today find it convenient to ignore or even overlook the wrong or the sinful, immoral conduct of life. Is it wrong to be controversial, or is it right? Was Moses right or wrong? You say wrong because he was controversial? You're wrong because surely he was right. How could Moses ever have fulfilled his mission without controversy or involvement with Pharaoh and the Egyptians? Don't you know that Pharaoh considered Moses and Aaron as controversial men when the plagues came upon Egypt? How successful do you suppose Moses would have been in leading and directing Israel through the land of the wilderness if he had attempted to avoid any involvement and controversy? Today, some people may be heard to say, "Don't be involved in anything controversial." Someone might say, "Just don't be involved in controversial issues." Why? Is that wrong? For example, Cain and Abel were brothers, but there was life and death issues between them. The Bible says Abel was a righteous man, right? That's right, one says. And the Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Hebrews 11, verse 4. An obedient faith made Abel right, but that did not resolve the differences between the two brothers. Their differences led to the death of Abel. It was Abel whom God honored as a man of faith, not Cain. But someone says, if he had not been involved in the controversy or difference with his brother, he might never have been killed. You may be right, but that's wrong. Abel was concerned more about being right with God than being right or wrong with his brother Cain. God said Abel was right, while Cain, his brother, was wrong. Avoiding controversy doesn't make right wrong or wrong right. Faith in God and obedience to His will are so right that it cannot be wrong. Would you say that's wrong? Well, if so, you're wrong because that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think might have been the fate of Israel and Canaan if Joshua had refused to become involved in controversy with the pagan nations in the land? Suppose the philosophy, "Don't be involved in controversy," prevailed while 15 judges ruled in Israel. What would have been the results? Devastating, of course. Right or wrong? When David, Saul, and Jonathan engage in battle after battle with the Philistines and other enemies of God's people of the time, can you imagine the enemies in flight or defeat shouting, "These people are the most non-controversial, most uninvolved opponents we have ever had"? Wrong, you would say, and you're right, that's wrong. Another question. Was Nathan non-controversial and non-involved when he declared to the king in no uncertain terms, "Thou art the man"? 2 Samuel 12:7. Don't you know that this great need in our world today for men of conviction and courage stands out? Why not face to face with men and issues of life and firmly, without apologies, declare, "Thou art the man"? A balance between for and against, right and wrong, is essential. A person who is only for the right and never against the wrong is out of balance. Or one who is always against the wrong and never for the right becomes a negative, unbalanced wheel. A wheeler-dealer, so to speak. We cannot consistently be for righteousness unless we're against unrighteousness. One cannot be against the wrong unless he is consistent and unless he is for godliness and right. How could one be for honesty, that which is right, unless he is against dishonesty, the wrong? One cannot be for justice, the right, unless he is consistently against injustice. One cannot be right with God unless he is against Satan, who is all wrong. Who could be effectively right for the truth unless he is against wrong, false teaching? Suppose someone is wrong generally in doctrine and practice, but the end results seem to be good. Does that make it right? Have you not heard it said, they must be doing something right? Look at the results. Look at the crowds. Look at the numbers. But my friends, the numbers, large or small, do not make it right or wrong. Isn't that right? Right, you say, because you know Jesus said the devil had the largest crowd. That is what the Bible says. Are you listening? Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. That's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. You must know that is right. Jesus said so. It is so right, it cannot be wrong. And in the same context, the following two verses, Jesus warned, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. And he concluded, by their fruits ye shall know them. And there's something else right here. That is, you may do some evil that good may come, is the philosophy of some people. Right? Yes, that's right. That's what some people say. But is it right or wrong? For example, the liquor and beer makers and sellers may tell you, we need to make and sell whiskey and beer to get tax money to support education, to support the needy and the orphans, to support the lame and the cripple. Isn't that right? Have you not heard that said many times by the supporters of the liquor and beer industry, the sellers of alcoholic drinks? You know that's right, and they are wrong. They don't tell you about the thousands of innocent people who are murdered on our highways by drunk drivers almost every day. They don't tell you that many of their best customers are in the jails and penitentiaries for drunkenness, murder, rape, and just about every crime known in the book. They don't tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Hear me. Are you listening? How many liquor stores and beer joints, how many manufacturers of liquor and beer or intoxicating drinks do you know about who support or maintain homes for orphan children who have made orphans as the result of their liquor and beer? How many homes for cripples and disabled do you know about who are supported by the liquor crowd? They talk about good from evil, collect millions of dollars of tax money from the sale of alcoholic drinks, to create murder on the highways, the streets, and in some homes, to make paupers, widows, and orphans, to rape the innocent, and destroy one's body and soul. How deceived can the mistaken be? Wrong? You must know it's wrong. So wrong it can't be right. All the so-called arguments for evil that good may come are deceptions of Satan. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You know that's right. It can't be wrong. That's in your Bible, Ephesians 5:11. Furthermore, the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil, and abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Is that right or wrong? You know it is right and cannot be wrong. That's in your Bible, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. Evil cannot be good, and good cannot be evil, regardless of their association.